I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, and it will be jam-packed with information and cutting-edge ideas, as usual. We'll be centering around a lot of current event situations that are coming up with this upcoming equinox and also certain astrological configurations, and we'll also be talking about some new scientific discoveries that relate to healing. But before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by doing a little bit of Japa Yoga, which is mantra repetition, and that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And so if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari.
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
that was Sri Swami Satchinanda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. And I'd now like to take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, I also would like to mention that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's in an effort to have you create your own excellent health and also to take responsibility for maintaining it and utilizing some of the naturopathic cures and treatments that are available in this world. I'd like to also give my thanks and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience for those people who do take the time to email me. And I'm very open to suggestions regarding program content. And I'm also available to answer any questions or expand upon the ideas that are presented on the ET Yoga program. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing concepts, ideas, and techniques that you hear on this program. And you can contact me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. So for tonight's program, I'm going to start off by kind of touching upon a subject that's kind of dear to my heart, and that's chess. And why am I bringing up chess, and how is it related to higher consciousness or utilizing areas of the brain that have been dormant? Well, I was watching the Sinkfield Cup, and that's actually a tournament comprised of some of the highest-ranked chess players on the planet. And there was an interview at that point in time of, between one of the matches of a woman that was apprised of some of the latest research that was quite astounding, I thought. According to her, there are three things that light up all areas of the brain, and they're math, music, and chess playing. And I thought that was quite fascinating. I go back a long way with chess, and actually when I was in Kelowna, British Columbia, I hosted district chess tournaments there, also provincial championships. And actually, I even have a book out. It's called Green's Chess for Gifted. And that particular book is all about utilizing all of Bloom's taxonomy or higher thinking skills and in relationship to the game of chess. And another little tidbit, I guess, that comes up most recently in the London Times, and it's an article about artificial intelligence, and I wanted to pass this on because in some of the previous ET Yoga programs, I have encouraged people to try to distance themselves from too much technology, especially knowing that all technology lowers your frequency. And this particular article was, Is Artificial Intelligence Taking Over? And I thought it was quite interesting because the information kind of relates to a concept with the very high input computer companies are now finding that they're shutting down some of their programs because some of these computer programs are starting to develop their own language and communicate with each other and leaving humans out of the picture. And quite fascinating subject, actually, the whole concept of where artificial intelligence fits into the whole idea of consciousness. And I also noticed that David Icke also recently has a YouTube article out there concerning this. And when it makes front page news, I mean in big, bold, black headlines in the London Times, then I guess it's something that we need to be aware of. And when I was getting ready for tonight's program, a couple of current events are just around the corner. One is this August 21st total eclipse, and the other is the September 23rd astrological configurations. And I noticed that a lot of people, at least that I notice on the internet, have given kind of a negative spin to both these events, kind of like harbingers of doom and gloom, if you like. And I would just like to remind the ET Yoga audience that something that a lot of people just don't seem to get, and that is that external circumstances or events do not come with built-in meanings. And there seems to be this consensus of opinion out there that somehow certain events have certain histories that they place their own judgment and negative spin on. And I'd like to remind our listeners about the very powerful tool of placing positive spin on outer circumstances. And when you place a positive definition, positive emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you can then actually create your own positive experience. And that's something that actually I've been challenging my ET Yoga listening audience for about 10 years now for people to actually log their experiences with respect to this concept. I first heard about it from Bashar. And the idea here is that when you come across something that you view as a negative, is to try your best to place a positive spin on it. And even if you can't see any possible way that something good can come from it, you can even say that. Look, I just can't see any possible way that something good can come from this, but I'm going to put a positive spin on it anyway because I just can't wait to find out what possible good could come from it. And of course, the better the emotion, the better the definition that you can put on it. Probably the more powerful will be the result. But you'll find that if you get the knack of this, that it is kind of mind blowing because it actually works. And sometimes things take days or hours before you'll see the results, and sometimes depending on the topic or the subject matter, it could take months or even years. But if you practice this technique, I think you'll find very, very positive results. And I'm always thrilled to hear about listeners that have positive experiences with utilizing that particular technique. And I think in particular with this whole idea of these upcoming events, certainly, many people are also tying that into potential economic scenarios as well. And I would like to point out that actually last year, Bashar had predicted that in the fall of 2016 that everything would change. And even Barbara Marciniak and Simon Parks also were predicting an economic collapse for the fall of last year. Never really heard either Bashar or Barbara Marciniak do any follow-up on that, but I did hear from Simon Parks, who mentions that, in his opinion, the reason things didn't occur as they thought was because the timeline was stretched, somewhat like stretching a rubber band. And regardless of, the reasons for that, thought it was interesting that just from the point of view of listening to people make predictions, because I've never seen anybody really make valid predictions accurately. And I think the most important thing here is to also remind ourselves about the fact that even if those circumstances come about, again, the positive spin on any outer circumstance is the way to go. And and also sharing with you from information from Bashar, he would state that the Earth, in a sense, as we said, already exists in multiple parallel universes and versions. And right now, many of you are agreeing to experience the idea of a multitude of those versions seemingly in one place. But as you now go through these years post 2012 and through the center point of what you call the end of the cycle of 2012 and the beginning of a new cycle, it's functioning like a splitting prism. So as you go through that more and more every day from that point forward, the different reality vibrations will continue to diverge more and more until such time as somewhere around the idea of 2025 and 2033, many of these different divergent realities will no longer be able to experience individuals that are of a different vibration in a different reality. So using the analogy of a train station, Bashar says that the train tracks or the timelines begin to separate more and more from each other around 2012, such that around 20 to 25 to 2033, they become distinct separate realities wherein it eventually, around 2050, becomes impossible to jump from one to another. And the idea is that there are two general types of experiential realities or possible futures that could be labeled energy polarity-wise as positive and negative, and energy density-wise as ascension, which would be free from fear, and transhumanist, which would be analogous to increased control or darkness, and also reflecting the merging of man and machine or the next level of enslavement by the control system. So I think that's pretty much what I'm seeing with my own eyes, is that I'm seeing a lot of polarity here, and I'm seeing a lot of, I guess you want to call it mainstream media that tends to focus a lot on this transhumanist agenda. And also, I've heard that there are multitudes of people that actually have incarnated specifically for their interest in this connection between man and machine. And something that I personally don't want to be involved with, but that would be their choice. Also interesting to note that there is a trinary consciousness on Bashar's planet, the Esasani planet, and with the Esasani civilization, and it's called Epiphany, Epsilon, and Eclipse. And according to Bashar, that they're going to activate the mascons of our moon and emit a stabilizing frequency to the Earth during upcoming changes. And I think that's really a positive concept. And if you haven't done any research on mass cons on the moon, that's a pretty fascinating subject in itself that I don't really have time to go into on tonight's program. But I also will say that your lower three chakras emit emotion, and your upper three chakras emit logic, and when they combine in the heart, it creates a feeling, and from that feeling manifests that reality. And another little connection here to this upcoming eclipse, I was watching an interview with Stuart Swerdlow by Alfred Weber, and according to Swerdlow, the matrix is down during an eclipse. So to me, the whole idea here is this is a very positive possibility here for people to be involved with meditation, and I'm going to get into some information concerning the Merkaba technique as well on tonight's program, because I think it's very opportune time, especially if there's an effect here, so that it's kind of like the prison gates are down during these total eclipses. And speaking of the matrix being down, here's a quote from Barbara Marciniak concerning this topic. The ultimate tyranny in a society is not controlled by martial law. It's controlled by the psychological manipulation of consciousness through which reality is defined, so that those who exist within it do not even realize that they are in prison. They do not even realize that there is something outside of where they exist. You have been controlled like sheep in a pen by those who think they own you, from the government to the world management team to those in space. You have been deprived of knowledge by frequency control. And speaking of sheep, there's a story by Gurdjieff. And by the way, if you don't know about Gurdjieff and Uspensky, I guess these were two authors that were Russian, actually, that way back in the early days when I was reading stuff like Autobiography of a Yogi, one of my close friends suggested a book by Uspensky called In Search of the Miraculous. And Uspensky, as I recall, was a student of Gurdjieff. And Gurdjieff was most famous for the concept that he called the fourth way. And very, very advanced thinker. And sometimes his way is called the negative way, because it's kind of a little bit different than most of the spiritual paths that are revolve around yoga or Indian philosophy. And in any case, this is the story from Gurdjieff, that there once was an evil magician, and he lived deep in the mountains and forest, and he had thousands of sheep. But the problem was that the sheep were afraid of the magician, because every day the sheep were seeing that one of them was being killed for his breakfast, and another was being killed for his lunch. So they ran away from the magician's ranch, and it was a difficult job to find them in the vast forest. But being a magician, he used magic, and he hypnotized all the sheep and suggested to them, first of all, that they were immortal, and that no harm was being done to them when they were skinned, that on the contrary, it would be very good for them, and even pleasant. And secondly, he suggested that the magician was a good master who loved his flock so much that he was ready to do anything in the world for them. And in the third place, he suggested to them that if anything at all were going to happen to them, it was not going to happen to them just then, at any rate, not that day, and therefore they had no need to think about it. And he then told different sheep, to some, you are a man, you need not be afraid. It's only the sheep who are going to be killed and eaten, not you. You are a man, just like I am. Some other sheep were told, you are a lion. Only sheep are afraid. They escape, and they are cowards. You are a lion. You would prefer to die than run away. You don't belong to these sheep, so when they are killed, it is not your problem. They are meant to be killed, but you are the most loved of my friends in this forest. And in this way, he told every sheep different stories, and from the second day, the sheep stopped running away from the ranch. And they still saw other sheep being killed and butchered, but it was not their concern. Somebody was a lion, somebody was a tiger, somebody was a man, somebody was a magician, and so forth. Nobody was a sheep except the one being killed. This way, without keeping servants, he managed thousands of sheep, and they would go into the forest for their food, for their water, and they would come back home, believing always one thing. It is some sheep who are going to be killed, not you. You don't belong to the sheep. You are a lion, respected, honored, a friend of the great magician. The magician's problems were solved, and the sheep never ran away again. And that's a little story from Gurdjieff. And by the way, if you ever want to go over any of the information on this program, you can always go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page there's a button there for radio archives, and you just hit that one button and it'll take you to whatever date of the program you wish to listen to. And the programs are tagged there by program content as well. And I'd like to also, on tonight's program, share with you a couple of, I guess, you want to call them insights or information that's come to me over the years. And one of those was concerning timeline splits. And timeline splits, to me, happen for this reason. And they happen because all the possibilities can't occur in that one time-space reality. For example, let's take World War II. Hitler could not have both won and lost World War II. So there would have had to be a timeline split where on one timeline they win and another timeline they lose. That's the most simple way that I could explain this. And I think that this upcoming eclipse is one of the things that crossed my wavelength during meditation was that this was also an opportunity for positive forces, let's say, to do some tinkering with timelines. And I think that really ties into what Bashar was saying. And the other concept that came across my way is this: the whole idea of a Merkaba field, and how it would be possible, let's say, for the Earth to ascend into another dimension. And it's similar to an individual. The concept being that a Merkaba, and if you haven't seen a moving Merkaba in 3D, then you need to go on YouTube somewhere and look up the Merkaba, M-E-R-K-A-B-A or B-A-H, and you need to see these counter- counter-rotating tetrahedrons. and they rotate in opposite directions, and it's difficult to explain on radio. So that's why I'm suggesting you need to see this, and you need to see the visual symbol of these Merkabas counter-rotating. And the concept that I had in the information in the meditation was that if these counter-rotating tetrahedron fields, and if you had one large enough so that the Earth was inside of one, then as these counter-rotating tetrahedron fields counter-rotated past the speed of light, at that point, what was inside the Merkaba would also transcend into the next dimension. So that's a vision that I've had, and if you've had something similar to that, I would appreciate hearing from you. Also, I should point out that the Merkaba is the divine light vehicle used by ascended masters to connect with and reach those in tune with the higher realms. And Mer means light, and Ka means spirit, and Ba means body. And Merkaba means the spirit body surrounded by counter-rotating fields of light or spirals of energy, as in DNA, which transports spirit body from one dimension to another. And the Merkaba is a geometric pattern that can move either like a torus or like counter-rotating light fields. The energy field of a person, which is always present, takes on this pattern when their consciousness is no longer purely focused physically and is now able to travel or is traveling through other dimensional realities. And a fully activated Merkaba indicates that a person is able to take their body through stargates and to other dimensional realities and simply take their consciousness to other dimensional realities while leaving their body behind. But it's also possible to take the physical body along as well. So the Star of David, Thiel says, may have come about due to people observing the Merkaba, which is why it represents the idea of the soul or the spirit transcending the temporal world. And it's long been thought that it sits inside the base of one's base chakra, and when activated, expands in a torus to encompass the body and then transforms into the tetrahedral form as the dense bodies merge into the light body. And it can be activated by various techniques, including meditation, breathing, and focus, and also spinning techniques, such as the Pleiadian spinning techniques, and also Sufi whirling, as Gurdjieff has also suggested. And the Merkaba is not a requirement for ascension, but rather it's a symptom or a result of ascension. The Merkaba activates on its own as a result in a shift in consciousness. The Merkaba becoming alive is a reflection of the fact that one has developed a pattern of consciousness which enables their perspective or their focal point to be unrestricted by the limits of vibrational density of the physical dimension or third density. And Bashar says that you can explore with this if you wish. It's up to you, but you might want to use this idea by imagining it simply in your imagination and play with that shape and play with what that shape does when you get it in your mind's eye in terms of opening you up to other levels of communication as well, because you can use it that way too. If you also do it in your mind and you see that shape in your mind, if you can also learn to view it three-dimensionally and start turning it or rotating it in your mind and seeing it in different angles, that will absolutely heighten and increase your ability to tap into other dimensional frequencies as well. And according to Bashar, all tools, all techniques, All rituals, all objects are nothing but permission slips. And they're not doing anything for you by themselves. They're just a vibratory resonance that symbolically depicts or symbolically reflects the state of the belief system within you at present, that by that reflection, it will allow you to give yourself permission to be more of who you are. And I might also add that monatomic elements are also light conductors that energize the light body. And definitely they can increase the amplitude of one's electromagnetic frequency. And I would like to refer the ET Yoga listening audience to David Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, David Hudson Lectures 1, 2, and 3 on the Internet, because it's just amazing. His whole story is amazing, and this whole topic of monatomics to me is like one that very few people really know very much about. And I also like Bashar's concept that ascension is simply the raising of your frequency, that's all, and experiencing the reality that is commensurate with that. And by acting on your highest excitement to the best of your ability with no insistence on a particular outcome, you will allow yourself to expand and continue to ascend. So I talk about cutting it right down into its simplest terms. I also noticed recently on the YouTube that Solara on Ra also has a new meditation involving a Merkaba technique. And I might add that her description is kind of a very quick way to do a Merkaba technique. And I'm going to share with you now my own experiences with respect to a specific technique. Now, you can go online and you can look up Merkaba technique, and you can find many systems involving a breathing and a breath numbered system. It's kind of like on breath one, you do this, et cetera, and it goes up to like 24 breaths. I've never been involved with that. I know Drinvalo Melchizedek has that technique pretty much all over the place, and you can find that quite easily on the Internet, and you might find that that technique resonates with you. The way I was taught this particular technique is to you get very centered in a place that, let's say, where you would meditate, and you would visualize yourself inside your energy field. And then you would visualize yourself inside your Merkaba. And then you would visualize these two tetrahedrons counter-rotating in a balanced way. And the mental approach was that my counter-rotating tetrahedron fields are now rotating in a balanced way at half the speed of light. Now my counter-rotating tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 6/10 the speed of light, and so forth, up to 7/10, 8/10, 9/10, until you get to the point where my counter-rotating tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way faster than the speed of light. And somewhat similar to the Who Am I technique, with total focus here is the conception. And as I had been doing that particular technique for some time, I came across some information from Dan Winter, and he and I both concur with the following information, that it was discussed that in the Merkaba meditation, the head needed to tilt back about 32 degrees, entering the golden mean ratio before it could actually transcend the speed of light. And the 32-degree tilt is also the tilt angle of the chin of the Sphinx and corresponds to the pump mechanism of the Kundalini. So the idea is to first sit with your spine straight as you want your central channel unobstructed. And you come to the point in your meditation in which you visualize your star tetrahedron around you, and you say, equal speed. You exhale or blow. Next, inhale and visualize a cube around the tetrahedron and say 3421. Exhale or blow. Inhale and see a dodecahedron around the cube and say 9/10 the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Inhale and tilt your head back about 32 degrees and imagine your cube tilting back into the dodecahedron. Say, faster than the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Notice as the head tilts back that a type of pump is formed from the tilt of the head, the straight spine, and the angle of the sacrum. Relax with the head resting back and notice if your spine becomes hot or tingling as your Kundalini activates. Also, be aware the terrific spin of your Merkaba. If you find yourself almost locked into this position, as it feels cleansing, open, and awe-inspiring, when you are ready, straighten your head back to its normal position. And I find, as Dan Winter did, that this is the most effective type of Merkaba instruction. And as I previously mentioned, if you're interested in kind of hearing those instructions at your own speed, best way to do that it would be to go to the archives, go to etyoga.com, and hit the radio archive button, and in a couple of days, the archives from this particular program will be on today's date, and you can kind of go through those instructions at your own pace. And also with respect to the Merkaba technique, it really ties into the whole concept of the ET Yoga, because ET Yoga, although based primarily around the concept of self-realization, and also at the foundation is the whole idea that everything's about beliefs. I did share some commonalities among people's different spiritual journeys. And I also would like to point out that when I suggest techniques for ET Yoga, basically I recommend the Who Am I technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, the Pleiadian Pillar of Light and spinning techniques, the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation taught by Bashar, and the Hari Om mantra is taught by Sri Swami Sachidananda, and also I do recommend the Merkaba meditation. So those are the primary techniques that I would link to the whole concept of ET Yoga. And actually, there are, you know, two kinds of gurus: an Upa Guru who points the way, and a Sat Guru who is the way. And of course, there's many charlatans out there professing to be the latter. However, as Ram Dass used to say, it's your sincerity and a certain falling away of worldliness that attracts you to legitimate sources. There's an old saying, if a pickpocket meets a saint, he only sees his pockets. And since most people start out having a job of one kind or another, learning to deal with keeping your peace, integrity, and some knowledge of karma yoga comes in handy. Karma yoga is basically learning to arrive at some balance with respect to seeing work as a service while now not allowing yourself to be abused. And as Swami Satchitananda used to say, if you don't charge enough for your services, you're neither a good business person nor a yogi. A good business deal leaves both parties feeling good about the bargain. Karma Yoga also relates to the idea that as you sow, so shall you reap, or what you put out, you get back. And I've always found it amazing that some people have a hard time thinking this is true, when in physics, it is a well-established fact that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And this is also true of your thoughts, for it's a type of energy as well. And as time goes on, we realize that we are a microcosm of the whole. In fact, we have the capacity to have awareness of the whole, awareness as an individual, or both simultaneously. And usually, there is some recognition of the dark side, which usually begins as a labeling or a judging, but later it gets integrated in the whole as developing spirituality is integrative and not segregative. And there is a realization that we are what we experience. And in the last 30 years or so, through channeled extraterrestrial messages, we have become aware that it is our thoughts, beliefs, definitions, and emotions that create our outer experiences. And there's also a realization that blame, complaint, and justification of circumstances are reflections of victimhood consciousness. As we take more responsibility for our experiences, we start to get back our power and start dealing with fear. And when you conquer fear, then you conquer self-empowerment. Initially, we are conditioned to believe that things happen in a random manner, and we're helpless or powerless humans who need protection. In reality, we are spiritual beings having a human incarnation and have total power over our outer experiences and only need practice and protection from our own thoughts and beliefs. It turns out that when you take 100% responsibility for your outer experience, there is then no one to blame, as ironically, you realize that you attract or create it all. This is also a necessary step to moving up to the next dimension. The other very important thing of letting go of attachments in the past, which anchors our frequency to 3D, in other words, forgive others, let go of the emotional baggage. It also allows you to live in the present instead of being stuck in the past. And you also then realize that it is your frequency that is of utmost importance, as fostering unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion will also be reflected in your outer experience. As Bashar would say, outer circumstances do not matter. Only state of being matters. And it also has been scientifically shown that the brain and the heart emits a frequency 5,000 times stronger than the brain and the head. And it can even be measured by magnetometers and extends about 12 feet from the physical body. So it's your frequency that interfaces with the morphogenetic field, which determines what you experience in the outer world. There really is no empirical reality. Reality is the experience, although there is an idea of a consensus reality. There's also the idea that we all view outer events the same, and this is totally false. As just like the props of a theater can be used in different plays, outer circumstances or events do not come with built-in meanings. The meaning you give to an event determines the experience for you. Events are like a coin, and there's always two sides, or else there is no event. You come to the realization that the primary duty of the rational mind is to place a positive spin on outer circumstances. And I think this is a factor that's really, really, really important. This whole concept that you can't have an experience or an event, just like a coin, without both sides. Now, maybe in life it's not like it's 50% heads and 50% tails. It might be 98% dark and 2% light, but there's always a light side or a silver lining, no matter what the event. So, again, going back to this upcoming total eclipse, no matter who's spinning the dialogue, you still have the ability to spin your own dialogue. And my suggestion would be to place a huge positive spin on this event. It's an omen that's of the highest possible good, and that you will have a very positive experience from this particular event. And I think as a general rule, just in life, period, there's just no percentage in negativity. Anytime that you're fostering a negative point of view, it's just in polarity and not in alignment with your higher self. And I think a good idea here would be to always try to imagine what would your higher self's position be on any particular topic. And I think you're going to find out that excitement and joy and these attributes like giving thanks, appreciation, and gratitude, compassion, unconditional love, that these are the emotions that would be reflective of your higher self. I'd like at this point in time to wish my ET Yoga audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd also like to mention that my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, is available at my website at etyoga.com, $9.95. I much appreciate your support. And I'll be closing tonight's program in the usual manner by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And this technique, as Bashar would say, is a permission slip. And depending on your personal beliefs and your focus, I wish you the best in utilizing this technique. And it's basically to place the your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And when you become that spot, you then say, "Who am I?" And you can do that a few times or many times, whichever seems most comfortable for you. And then at that point, you would state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.